Well, good evening, everybody. As some of you know, today is my anniversary, so I won't be very long. Bruce might be eulogizing me if I take too long. So this is going to be a short, but a hopefully a encouraging lesson. Excuse me a second. Done before you started. I'll stick it under here. Yeah, it's like in a restaurant. The title of tonight's lesson is "Come as You Are, but Don't Stay as You Are." Now, as far as I know, there's no particular scripture that says, "Thou shalt come as they are." So, why do we say that? Why do we use that phrase? We do have, I'll cite a couple of examples about people coming as they were. We have Acts, the second chapter, where Peter told the 12 tribes of Israel that you guys have killed Jesus, and now you have to answer to him. And he told them, a few more things, but, excuse me, but when they heard that, I told them enough to where they were pricked in their hearts. And then they started asking the question, well, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them, repent and be baptized. So in that, we know they didn't have much time to do any changing. They had to come as they were. A lot of people, I was surprised by this, a lot of people actually think before they come to Christ, they have to clean up their life. They think, I'm not worthy, or my life is too messed up to come to Christ and become a Christian. I was just so surprised when I thought about that, reflected back, and even one of our newest brethren kind of had that thinking. So the reason behind the coming as we are, I don't know if we talk about this enough. It's grace and mercy. Grace is getting what we don't deserve, while mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Mercy is the kindness and compassion shown to one who offends, while grace is something that is extended to everyone. Grace eventually will be complete when we are in heaven, whereas mercy ends the moment of death. When we face God's judgment and his justice, that's when mercy ends. Mercy is only extended to us on this time side of life. And it brings us into God's sanctifying and soul-redeeming grace. The Israelites, this is an example of mercy, if you will. The Israelites, they struggled. They were constantly putting up idols and worshiping Baal and doing all kinds of things that God did not authorize and did not approve and did not like. But instead of destroying them, when they finally, sort of like the lesson this morning, when they came to themselves and came back crying to God for help, God showed compassion and forgiveness. He showed mercy. He didn't destroy them, which they deserved, but provided for them and cared for them. Now, grace. First, let me just say that there's nothing that we can do to be saved from God's wrath. There's nothing that we can do on our own. We can't earn it or do anything to achieve it by our own means. Now, if we accept that we are sinners, truly repent, and turn away from, make a note of this word, practicing. Just hold that in your head for a little bit. we turn away from practicing sin, believe in God, and confess Christ before men, that means in front of men, and we can receive this free gift of grace, which is salvation. The undeserved favor of God, that's what grace is, as manifested in salvation and blessings. God showed grace to us by providing a way through Jesus that we might stand blameless before him and therefore be free from the judgment and the punishment to come. Because make no mistake, it's coming. But grace has conditions. There are people call them the come to Jesus moments. I'm sure you guys have heard that phrase used. When people finally reach that time in their life, let me just give you an analogy of grace and mercy when they reach this moment here. Let's just say you committed an offense, you attacked my family, and some of the crazier ones in my family hunted you down and stuck you in front of me. Now, instead of giving you what you deserve, which is a beat down, you get mercy. Also, grace is extended. Instead of giving you what you deserve, I tell you, I'm going to give you $500 a week. But you must come to church to get it. There's your condition. I can extend that grace to you, but there's something that you must do to receive it. And you must continue to keep coming to continue to receive it. So when we come as we are, it is because of grace and mercy that we're not required to do anything else. We're not required to learn how to be a Christian before we become a Christian. That's my introduction. Now let's talk about, that's not about not staying as we are. There's a lot of people out there that think that once they become a Christian, whether they've prayed the sinner prayer or whatever they think they have done to become a Christian, even some who have been baptized, they think that the journey is over. They think, well, I'm finished now. I got baptized. That's it. I'm done now. But we're not supposed to stay as we are. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, the Bible says this: Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desired to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And let me back up a little bit and read a verse. Verse 13. Now remember, we just talked about Jesus says, follow him. Verse 13 says, When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Now take note of this phrase, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, if there's anyone worthy of following and being followed, I would think it would be Christ, the Son of the living God. So that's why we would want the desire to come after him and take up our cross and follow him. This also implies that we can't do things the way we used to do it. We can't stay as we are. Over in Romans, chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Now remember, we're talking about not staying as we are. And why should we follow Jesus? Well, this verse here kind of explains it a little deeper as to why. Verse 22 says, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves to God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we are to, if we understand that the wages of sin is death, that's a pretty good reason to be following Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible talks about certain things. Now, remember, we're talking about not staying as we are. Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2.
The nutritional needs of all dog breeds. Jungle Calling dog treats are made from pure, natural ingredients with no additives. They're easy to carry, even to the jungle. From nature, back to nature. Jungle Calling helps keep your dog happy.
By the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we can't stay like we are. We have to be conformed. How do we conform ourselves? How do we transform ourselves? How do we do that? Well, there's lots of ways to transform yourself. Lots of ways to renew your mind. But the saving grace, the part that puts you in God's grace, there's only one way to do that, and that is through his book. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says to study to show yourself approved unto God, that a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we need to engage in the study of the book to replace what's been in our heads that's from the world. This is how we transform ourselves. This is how we renew our minds, by getting into the one thing that can transform us, which is the Word of God. Because Christianity is learned behavior. It's not like Pop-Tarts or toast or something, when you stick it in there and flush it down for a few minutes and pops up, and you know, you have an insta fully grown, fully mature Christian. It doesn't work like that. It's learned behavior, and it's a journey from the time you are baptized till Christ either comes or until our time is up and we check out. This is a journey that is going to be continuing on, and there's a reasonable expectation that we grow in grace and knowledge. Now, Paul has some problems with some folks in Corinthians. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, Paul is admonishing the church at Corinth. And he's telling them, now remember, we're talking about don't stay as you are. Here we have the Apostle Paul having some words to the church at Corinth, and here's what he tells them. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. Even now, you are still not able because you're carnal. So Paul is showing we have at least a necessary inference here.
Introducing the Serta Arctic. Its exclusive Reactec system feels up to 5 degrees colder than Tempur-Pedic Lux Breeze. Serta Arctic. Sleep cool all night long.
We should be in the same place we were when we came. We should be far beyond that as we continue to strive to renew our minds and transform ourselves. Now, I'm going to read some things that's going to focus about sin, because that's what the transforming away from is, sin. In Romans chapter 5, there's a lot in there. You're going to have to study that out on your own to get it. It's talking about sin, a lot of things going on there, but so to get the proper context, you have to read it yourself, but in the interest of time, and so I don't get eulogized, I'm just going to pick out one verse, verse 20. And it said, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. Now, think about that. Where sin abounded, grace abounded more. And we were talking about grace and mercy. And Paul, after saying that, he asked somewhat of a rhetorical question. He says in Romans 6, verses 1 through 4, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2 says, certainly not. And by the way, there's an exclamation point behind not. Think about grace. And listen to this part here. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you, this is verse 3, do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, this part here, even so, we should walk in newness of life. So we are not to stay as we are. Thinking about grace, 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 and hold grace in your mind as we read this. Verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Verse 2, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. But we shall see him as he is. Now, I gave you that to give you some context. Verse 3, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Purifies himself just as he is pure. We also... Peter talks about what we need to be doing. Maybe we don't talk about this enough. But Peter is telling us, but as he who has called you to be holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So we are to be purifying ourselves, and we are to be holy. And the way we do that is through transforming ourselves. By renewing our minds. And so we're not staying as we are. We came a certain way, but we should not be that way as we grow in our Christian life. Picking up the reading at verse 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Verse 6, whoever abides in him does not sin. So hold that word in your head, abide. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices, hold that in your mind, righteousness is righteous. I'm going to read verse 7 again. He who, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil's sin has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. And it goes on to say he doesn't love his brother either. So we have these words, abide and practice. We are to practice righteousness. We are to not practice unrighteousness. We are to abide in him, him being Jesus. But I want to go back and review verse 9, because there's some people that have struggled with this scripture here. Because it says, whoever is born of God does not sin, because his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, when you read that, and Bruce talked about this morning, this is why context is so important. And those words abide and practice come into play. Because if you just read this one verse, it sounds hopeless. Because we're all sinners. And there's no way around it. Yet here we have the scripture saying, he who was born of God does not sin. That's why the word practice and abide matter so much. Mm-hmm. In the proper context. Right. We're not expected to be perfect, but we are expected to strive and practice. I'll put it like this. The Bible tells us we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account to everything that's done in this body, whether it's good or evil. Now, if we have been practicing righteousness, we'll have sufficient evidence to convict us of being a Christian. If we have been practicing unrighteousness, there won't be enough evidence. And we may have some gate trouble. But I want to address verse 9 with some more scripture. 1 John 1:8-10 kind of clears up if there was any doubt about the sin born of God. It highlights and illustrates the practicing. John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So, as Christians, we confess our sins. I want you to hold in your mind that word confess, because it's about to come up again. As Christians, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Remember, sin is separating us from grace and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, so if we're saying we have no sin, we're making God a liar. So that should clear that up about sinning. It's called practicing, abiding in Christ. So to stay in God's grace, we cannot stay as we are. If you're in that place, you know, there's some folks maybe watching by internet. If you're in that place where you've come to that moment and you realize that your life is not what you want it to be, you realize that you understand that the wages of sin is death, you understand that you need to do something about your life, then there's a way you must do it. Just like grace has its conditions, to get into that grace, there are things you have to do. Excuse me. You have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized to get into God's grace. Let me elaborate a little bit. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now the believe part. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we must hear, we must believe that we've heard, that which we've heard, and then we need to repent. We already talked about Acts, the second chapter. In Acts 2:38, when Peter had told the tribes of Israel, hey, you guys really messed up. And they said, well, what do we do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? How do we fix this mess that we've created? And Peter said, well, there's an answer to that. Repent, and I'm just going to pause right there. He said, we need to confess. Now, the confession that is made is not as a Christian. As Christians, we confess our sins. But if you're not a Christian, that is not the confession you make to bring yourself salvation. The confession you make, as Matthew 10:32 says, is, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. If you deny me, I'll deny you. It's that same confession that the eunuch made when Philip came to him, and as the scripture said, beginning the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, and he went down to the water because the eunuch was asking about that, and they went down into the water and he asked this question. And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made that confession. That's what brings about salvation, that kind of confession. Then we must be baptized. Now Mark 16:16 says, he that believes and is baptized. Let me circle back to Acts 2:38. Peter said, repent and be baptized. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Mark 16:16 says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You know, if you've heard me talk at all, you know you probably heard this, but I'm going to say it again. That word and seems to be so confusing when we're talking about things of the Bible, but it's so clear when we talk about worldly things. I could say to you biscuits, and if you know what's good for you, you'll say and gravy. Okay? Peanut butter and jelly. Laverne and Shirley. See, we know these go together. There's no questioning of it. It's that automatic. If you want to date yourself, Abbott and okay. So yeah, there's the word, that and word is a linkage. It means that when this is instructed, and whatever's behind an and is linked to the previous word. So for those who try to struggle, and I think that's what it is, they try to struggle because they're hung up on their church and their beliefs, and I don't know what the big deal is about and to struggle about being baptized, because it's, to me, it's just as plain as can be. It doesn't hurt. It's just water. But yet people really fight against that for some reason. And what they don't get is that's what puts you into Christ. If you want to be in Christ, you have to do that. So how are you going to want to claim you want to be in Christ and do everything that you want to do and not do what Christ said to do to be in Christ? So That's how you get into Christ. You hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And if there's anyone here this evening that has that desire to be in Christ, I just showed you how to do it. If there's anyone here that has some sin in their life and they've realized that they've been staying as they were and they haven't progressed like they should, if you have sin in your life and you want to make a confession, then you can do that also. If you need prayer, or if you are already a Christian and you have been looking for a good church home, we would be glad to have you worship with us. We'd love to have it. Whatever your need may be, now's the time to respond as we sing the invitation song.